In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer grace and peace to all of you who are joining us online for our first worship service of 2021. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, coming to you today from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I am joined by Pastor Jacob Richards, Music Director Barb Fuller, and our entire worship team and production staff. So welcome to all of you, whoever you are and wherever you are. Thanks for gracing us with your presence today. Today is Communion Sunday, which we will celebrate virtually. So you can gather whatever elements you have to represent the bread and wine as we share together later in the service. And as always, we celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church. Later this month, on January 24th, we will conduct our annual meeting at 12 p.m. This will be done in a virtual manner for obvious reasons this year on the platform known as Zoom. And if you do not have the technology which supports Zoom, you will be given opportunity to participate through email or snail mail or however we can work it out for you. And all pertinent documents will be made available to you ahead of time. So stay tuned as we will have more detailed instructions for the annual meeting. As Lorraine mentioned in the most recent Mayflower e-notes, there was an incredible response to our end-of-the-year outreach projects, including baby boxes for Haiti, the Salvation Army, the teachers at Luton School, and the Mitten Tree. And I, as a pastor, on behalf of our entire church, would like to say thank you for such a generous response. Today's theme for the service is Handicapped Accessible Christianity. Let us now worship God.
There is little doubt that most of us, if not all, are happy to see the year 2020 fade into our rear view mirrors. We certainly have high hopes as we enter 2021, especially thinking and hoping to gather again in person for worship. But as a gathered community of faith, looking back, we can see the leading hand of God. So we pause before looking ahead to acknowledge God's wonderful blessings here at Mayflower in 2021. God has sustained us, protected us, and guided us. God has been with us in the past, is with us now, and will always be with us in the future. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O God, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come, you have sheltered us from the stormy blast of 2020. Your saints have dwelt secure, sufficient in your arms, our defense is sure. 1,000 years in your sight is like an evening gone. So let us now be reminded of the brevity of our lives and the ever-rolling stream of time. With that, O Lord, we bring our minds, our bodies, and our spirits, finite though they are, into this service of holy worship. We unite our hearts into the divine and the infinite. Strengthen our faith, increase our trust, and sharpen our sense of purpose to do your will as we are inspired by your presence, motivated by your spirit, and encouraged by the example of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. As when the shepherd shepherd calls his sheep. They know and hear his voice. So when you call your family, Lord, we follow and rejoice. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. With joyful lips we sing to you our praise and gratitude, that you should count us worthy, Lord, to share this heavenly food. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. Is not the cup we bless and share the blood of Christ outpoured? Do not one cup, one loaf declare our oneness in the Lord? You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. The mystery of your presence, Lord, no mortal tongue can tell. Whom all the world cannot contain, comes in our hearts to dwell. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. You give yourself to us, O Lord, then selfless let us be to serve each other in your name, in truth and charity. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat.
Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Lord, we enter 2021 with cautious hope and measured optimism. But help us to remember that another year has simply come and gone as we mark the passing of time. We ask you today for a larger view. Give us eyes of faith to expand our hopes beyond a change of circumstances, an end to a pandemic, or another chance to make resolutions. Yes, we need new resolve, new determination, and a new outlook. But help us, O Lord, to look beyond a mere change of circumstances, better health, or improved finances. Help us to acknowledge our failures and our sins by receiving your forgiveness and then granting and receiving it to and from others. Give us more compassion and more empathy toward those whom we don't think are carrying their fair share of the load. And help us to reach out with more purpose to those whose lifestyles and financial choices aren't compatible with our own. Help us to realize that many people do not have the opportunity to simply make choices, as the choices for them have already been made by their inopportune past or unforeseen or uncontrollable circumstances. Help us never to avoid, diminish, or forget those with disabilities. While we don't wield the power or authority as Jesus did to declare instantaneous healing, help us to be agents of healing emotionally, physically, and spiritually. With that, help us to be faithful in our prayers, our caring, and our sharing. We pray for all the new and continuing needs brought to our attention. And today we especially pray, continuing so, for the healing of Bryce Jarvie and Vance Fasalo and others within our loving community, many of whom need help and healing. And help us never to lose faith in the effectiveness of our prayers for the world and our nation as we prepare for a change in government. We earnestly pray for a peaceful transition of power as we have seen unprecedented animosity which has transpired among some who have difficulty accepting defeat. We also pray for a spirit of humility and grace for all those in the new administration. May the grace of God prevail on both sides, and indeed all sides, and more so for us as we pray together the prayer we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 through 14. Jeremiah 31 is a pivotal chapter in all of Scripture. God's new covenant, which is to be written on the hearts of the people, is announced. Prior to that, however, Jeremiah gives a hopeful nod to those who might otherwise have been forgotten, the handicapped. Hear now these words. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them forth from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will bring them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd to a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from the hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before I preach today, I would like to make a public apology. First of all, my desire would be that I would never say something from this pulpit that I would not want anyone to hear. That is exactly what I did on Christmas Eve just 10 days ago. I told a story about my neighbors and mentioned I hope they were not watching. What a dreadful, ill-timed, ill-conceived, and inarticulately spoken comment. Furthermore, my characterization of them was wrong. At best, I was thoughtless, careless, and unkind. At worst, I was hurtful and damaging to them and to the church I represent and to the Christ I serve. I sincerely regret those comments. I'm deeply sorry, first of all, to them, my neighbors, my good neighbors. And then to anyone else affected, which is a negative reflection on me, I will address this with my neighbors and ask them personally for their forgiveness. I ask you for your forgiveness, even if you did not attend or watch or listen to the service. Thank you. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, and my loving God, I also need your forgiveness. I also ask you for the corrective input from your Holy Spirit and a renewed purpose of sensitivity, wisdom, humility, and restraint as I continue to offer words of grace, healing, and hope from this pulpit. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer, and my rock. Amen. Happy New Year. I begin the new year in the Old Testament. In this chapter, as Deanne has mentioned, subsequent to today's reading, Jeremiah gives us the fifth iteration of God's covenant with Israel, as understood in the pages of Scripture. First with Noah, in which God resets and renews the blessing of creation and reaffirms God's image in all humanity. Then with Abraham, promising land, descendants, and blessing. Next is with Moses when God supplies the law, which promotes order, health, and life itself, and giving Israel its conditional responsibility as the relationship of blessing and curse is associated with obedience and disobedience. Again with David, God provided the hope for a Messiah, a future king who would secure God's promises, all of them. And finally, Jeremiah announced the culmination and crowning glory of God's covenant, which would not be like the others that Israel had broken. This covenant would bring forgiveness of sin, and internal renewal of the heart, which transcends all that had come before. What is noteworthy here is the break from the usual Jeremiah, who is constantly haranguing, warning, and weeping for Israel and Jerusalem. This chapter is probably the only reason that Jeremiah made it into the Bible. Jeremiah is a very difficult book to read. And perhaps this chapter, which pronounces the new covenant, also inspired Dr. King's Theodore Parker quote when he said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." Dr. King's quote, what doesn't mean that things will just naturally get better. That's called historical determinism. It never happens on its own. And it wasn't about politics as many that had accused him. In spite of the tireless efforts of the best of the lot, and there are good politicians. In all the lament, the haranguing, and the weeping, Jeremiah uses his eyes of faith. With God, the long arc of history not only bends toward justice, but it also bends toward redemption. The quote assumes faith in God. In this passage, Jeremiah celebrates the Jews on their joyous return home after their exile. And who of us can't identify with the joy of going home? But did you catch it when the words were read? Jeremiah did not forget the ones most often forgotten, the ones who are always forgotten. They were the blind and the lame, we now know as persons with disabilities or handicapped. And he did not forget others who may have had equal difficulty on that long journey home, most notably women who were great with child. Two things stand out in this glorious chapter of the Bible. One, redemption came with God's promise and covenant, which zeroed in on forgiveness, when sins were not only forgiven, but forgotten by God. And then inclusion, those with disabilities were remembered and included. Now it's time for a history lesson. The world, and indeed our country, does not have a stellar record in the treatment and or attitude toward the handicapped. The Greeks were obsessed with human perfection, where beauty and intelligence were intertwined and perhaps laid the groundwork for future beliefs. The Romans were similar to the Greeks and considered this disabled to be inferior, and disability was seen as a mark of God's wrath. Following the decline of Rome and the rise of Christianity, there was a time when sympathy and pity increased toward the disabled. But it was soon replaced by fear during the Middle Ages. Disabled people were considered evil, and disability was considered the work of Satan. Institutions developed to hide the disabled rather than to treat them, and conditions were often far less than humane. During the Renaissance, there was an increase in religious influence. Changes occurred in the treatment of the disabled with the introduction of medical care and institutionalization. Many of the disabled were cared for by monks and religious organizations. However, people with disabilities were often ridiculed, such as a court jester who was actually someone with a humped back. It is important to note that under King James I, the Bethlehem Royal Hospital was created. That was the first one in Europe. In the 1700s, at the start of the Industrial Revolution, disabilities were commonplace. People worked long hours, in dangerous working conditions with no safety regulations. And there were many bloody battles, leaving many with permanent disabilities. The medical facilities were poor, and having a disability meant a death sentence in some instances. Those who weren't able to work were often left destitute, with few options other than to beg. Many could not afford assistive devices. They were the subjects of mockery and scorn. In the 1800s, the number of people who were homeless and living on the streets increased. There were social and moral changes, which brought training schools for the disabled, which in turn brought some relief to families of the disabled. But at the end of the Civil War, job opportunities for those completing training dwindled for obvious reasons. In the 20th century, it has been noted that the laws of the United States devalued persons with disabilities, as society as a whole viewed disabled persons as a group of people to be pitied, ridiculed, rejected, and feared, or as objects of fascination. Early in the century, people found to be mentally or physically defective, which hampered their ability to earn a living, were not permitted to enter the country, even with family members who were admitted. There was a developing fear that the U.S. would become a country of defectives, quote unquote. Ugly laws, as they were known, were passed, which made it illegal for any person diseased, maimed, mutilated, or disfigured to show themselves in public. It's hard to believe that that occurred in the United States. And here's another one. The last of those laws were not repealed until 1974. It was a city not so far from here, Chicago, Illinois. Many families who had a disabled child sent their children to institutions who were often forgotten because of family embarrassment. One awful legacy we have in the Midwest is the tradition of county fairs, which commonly entertain spectators with bearded women, dog-faced boys, giants, and dwarves. Promoters quickly learned that fairgoers were so captivated by these oddities that the sideshow was born and popularized the term freaks and the freak show. Justification for these exhibitions masqueraded under the guise of scientific enlightenment. And of course, in the 1930s, we had the rise of Hitler and the so-called master race. Those with physical deformities, and in particular those with mental disabilities, were subject to brutal experimentation and were used as human guinea pigs. Jews, gays, lesbians, and other minorities and their supporters and people with disabilities were put to death by Hitler's concentration camp staff, along with anyone who failed Hitler's view of the superior race. In 1933, Franklin Roosevelt became president, and while he tried to hide his disability, he did inspire many with it. In the 1940s, the National Mental Health Foundation began to expose abusive conditions at state mental institutions and became an early advocate for those with disabilities to live in community settings rather than institutions. And believe it or not, it wasn't until 1962 that a student with a significant disability was admitted to a state university. And it took a court case for that to happen. From the 1960s until the present, fortunately, we have made significant progress with the passage that's not an all-inclusive list, but the Architectural Barriers Act, the Urban Mass Transit Act, the Civil Rights Act, and the Rehabilitation Act, all of which served in some way to further the cause. 1977 was the first year ever for a White House conference discussing the rights of the disabled. And in 1988, the Fair Housing Amendments Act added people with disabilities to those who were protected by the Fair Housing Act. Landmark legislation that most of us will remember passed in 1990 called the Americans with Disabilities Act, otherwise known as the ADA. The list goes on because we tend to forget, and more work needs to be done. So here's a question, painful question that I had to ask myself. Do you ever get annoyed by the placement of a handicapped parking sign? Isn't it easy to forget, neglect, or avoid the issues of those who don't seem to be, quote unquote, normal? Fortunately, Jeremiah did not forget, and neither did Jesus. But in our Christian understanding and theology, we need to take a step back. Most of what is recorded in the Gospels concerning Jesus and the handicap resulted in instantaneous healing. And this is a paradox for us. We teach and I preach about the reality of God's marvelous healing. I have heard countless testimonies in my life and ministry of those who have been divinely healed, but I have never seen or witnessed an act of healing that visibly defied the laws of physics. And I suppose most of you have not either, but this is part of the paradox of healing, that the very physics of the universe, the wonderfully created bodies we have with properties of healing built in, are sustained and activated and sometimes repaired by the divine. The miracle of modern medicine, which includes high-tech prosthetics, braces, scooters, wheelchairs, mechanical cochlear implants, even hearing aids and eyeglasses, are a form of healing, along with all the miracle drugs which extend and often enhance life. But there are realities we need to honestly confront. We can't expect a miracle to be performed, and we are the ones negligently responsible for our own disabilities. We cannot always make sense out of the terrible suffering like the Holocaust, massive earthquakes, hurricanes like Katrina, devastating wildfires, children born with horrible disfigurements and disabilities, or life-altering disfigurements due to the irresponsibility of someone else. And for goodness sakes, the pandemic that has killed and taken away economic lifelines for millions. I can only tell you that I believe with all my heart that God was somehow in the smoke and fire in the gas chambers of Auschwitz, the floodwaters of Katrina, the flames in Paradise, California, and with those who navigate wheelchairs and walkers who need easier access to this sanctuary and our social hall someday soon. When Jesus performed miracles, there was always a summoning of faith and a participation in it. And also when he said to his disciples, "Give them something to eat yourselves." He did not perform gratuitous miracles. He grieved for Lazarus. He washed the feet of the disciples before the Last Supper and prayed his own prayer, which was not answered. "Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me." But his greatest prayer was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And his greatest act before he died was when he said to the dying thief, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Our greatest acts, too, involve forgiveness both offered and received, and the show of compassion in the face of suffering. In my own experience, I am reminded of those middle school kids in the YMCA back in 1990 in Richmond, Virginia. I held church in the building on Sundays, but also worked there in charge of the after-school latchkey program during the week that integrated and mainstreamed the handicapped. In some ways, was a novel idea back then. Most of the kids were physically and mentally well, but it was a new thing for them to defer to the needs of the handicapped, like the beautiful yet severely challenged and wheelchair-bound Yachi, whose Japanese-American parents were so grateful to have her in the program. At first, there was great reticence and hesitation among the kids, not knowing what to do. But soon, by the example of others, it became their greatest joy, when every day we would lift Yachi down into the pool and see the widest grin upon her face when she could swim. Then we would lift her out, go play games, which always involved her and everyone. And the kids would faithfully read to her, talk to her, and treat her like everyone else. I learned much from those kids as we all learned together the joy of inclusion in the reverse. Aren't you happy that when we approach the table of our Lord, Jesus has included us with our handicaps, including our penchant for forgetting the forgettable, saying things which hurt and damage the cause of Christ? And when we exclude anyone from the community of faith who reaches out, I am happy, because otherwise I couldn't come to this table. Thanks be to God.
We now move into a time of communion, so please, at home, gather whatever materials you may have to join us in that. Now please join me in the confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son. Amen. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved. We are forgiven, we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear. It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turn away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of the church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is a time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives.
A word of instruction for all of you online today. We and those part of our worship team here at Mayflower doing this just a little differently. I appreciate the help and assistance of fellow minister Jacob as we share together. So I will give the standing in for the words of Christ, as we always do as ministers. I will share the words of blessing both upon the bread and then the wine, and then Jacob and I will share with each other. And then at that point, you are welcome to partake. And at that time also, there'll be a number on the piano as we pause and reflect on the gracious act of God that we celebrate around this table. On the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, he broke it, and blessed it, and said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim it. You proclaim his death until he comes again." Jacob, ministering to you in the name of Christ, I offer you the bread of life. Jacob, ministering to you in his name, I offer you the cup of salvation.
Mark, ministering to you in his name, I offer you the cup of salvation.
Thanks be to God. And you may partake.
Thank you.
Image of God is placed on all. The law given to the Israelites has now been offered to all. The land promised to the Jews has now been offered to all. The redemption of God's people is a gift offered to all. Well, the past has been one of exclusion. Today we celebrate that all who are truly in God are included in his kingdom. Go in peace. Amen. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide, uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet.
Keep singing it until we do. Amen.